Thank you for your time this morning, Matthew. How did you get involved with 12 Tribes?
Okay. Initially, my wife was drawn to them very, very quickly because we were committed Christians at that stage. However, I wasn't ready to join straight away. But after about 8 months, we decided to join, which meant that we had to willingly give up all of our worldly possessions. So for us, it was giving up a house, a car, and for me personally, it was a business that I had started as well.
Now, I understand that at some point in your life with 12 Tribes, too many visits from your parents actually prompted the group to move your family. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Well, initially, my family were very, very angry and upset with me because they didn't understand what was going on. So they used to come around whenever they felt like visiting and just walk into the property without announcing themselves and come up to my room. I had no problem with this. However, the leaders of the community didn't like people coming onto the property without going through them first. So the whole property could be prepared for the visiting parents.
Prepared in what way?
Prepared in that things like disciplining children was done out of eyeshot and out of earshot. That the place was clean, that they'd have food cooked for them, so there'd be a nice, friendly welcome, which, you know, made the parents feel very, very, you know, welcomed. However, it wasn't the reality of what was going on there.
Where were you moved to, Matthew?
It was decided that they would move us to Cambridge in New York State, eventually onto Winnipeg.
Now, Yonake, I understand, is the name Eugene Spriggs. This is the founder,
yes,
and leader of 12 Tribes. What is his basic philosophy about how children should be raised?
His basic philosophy for the raising of children is the whole religious organization of the 12 Tribes is based around bringing up the perfect child where there is no dissent within that child. So we are all imperfect people. However, we need to try and raise perfect children. And to do that, discipline is very high on the agenda within the 12 Tribes.
What are the rules about how children can play?
Playtime is not encouraged at all. Playtime in the eyes of the 12 Tribes is just foolishness and leaving children to their own devices. I remember once when my daughter was carrying around a pair of socks pretending it was a baby doll because dolls were not allowed in the community because they didn't want children to give their love and affection to an inanimate object. So the kids would have to pretend that other objects were baby dolls. It's just the natural play of children. The elders back in Australia encouraged me not to allow my daughter and my son to play with each other because they needed to be around adults and only have adult influences.
Children are disciplined with a thin reed-like stick. It's been described to us here in Winnipeg as a balloon stick. How is this used?
Okay, I really get upset with the term balloon stick because it makes it sound quite light and not that horrible. But a balloon stick is quite thin and it stings when you smack them on the hand. So each time a child gets disciplined, I was taught, both in Australia and in Winnipeg, that you need to hit the child at least 6 times on the open palm and quite harshly too.
How often would that be used?
Depending on the child. Like my daughter was a very obedient child because she was very scared of discipline, so she rarely got disciplined. My son, on the other hand, was very defiant, so he could be getting disciplined up to 10, 15, 20 times a day. But it wasn't just by me, it would be by his mother and it would be by other males in the community itself. Probably one of the most shameful things I've ever done is I left him with an elder in Australia soon after I joined, and when I came back, the guy had told me he had to discipline my son because he didn't follow a command. He then told me he had to do this about 12 times before he followed the command for him to come to this stranger.
What kinds of circumstances would lead a child to be disciplined?
Okay, well, it starts from 6 months of age. They've actually got teachings that you can find on some of the websites regarding disciplining children. And from 6 months of age, if a baby's getting their nappy changed and they're wriggling too much and you tell them to stop, if they don't stop, then you're taught that you need to discipline them. And it just goes on from there. And in fact, my daughter, who was very obedient, I was told by the elders that I needed to make sure that eventually she was disciplined because it was very good for her to receive the rod, because it makes them a better child if they actually receive, you know, the pain of discipline.
In the context of what you've told us, I'd like to play something for you. We had some members of 12 Tribes join us at CBC on the show this week. And when it comes to the discussion around disciplining children, this is an interchange that I had with Maurice Welch, a member of the Winnipeg arm of 12 Tribes. Let me ask you why the rod is necessary.
Well, really, the rod is a minuscule part of our life. And it's only one aspect of loving child care. And really, our first resource as a parent is motivation. We endeavor to motivate our children from a place of encouragement and love. And the rod would be, like a police officer would use a gun or a nightstick, would be something that you wouldn't be used as a first recourse or on a regular basis, but only for the sake of preserving life and limb and protecting those under your care.
So how many times would you say that you had to use the rod?
That's a personal issue.
I'd like your reaction to that, Matthew.
Okay, I don't even know where to begin with that. He tries to minimize it by saying it's a minuscule part of discipline. It's not. It's actually the major tool. And if you read through their child training teachings, they talk about using the rod all the time. He also stated that the rod is not the first call of discipline or whatever he said. It is. They say, if a child is not obedient on the first command, then you need to discipline them. There's no ifs or buts or maybes. It is their first recourse for disciplining a child. There's not any encouragement. There's no discussion. It is, if a child is not obedient, then you need to spank them with the rod. And it is to motivate the child to be completely obedient to anything that an adult tells them to do.
What effect do you think that the disciplining with rods has on children?
My son, who left when he was four, the only memory he has of the 12 tribes is being disciplined. My daughter, who left when she was six, her only memory is being disciplined or hearing the screams of her brother being disciplined. It affects them down to their very core. Now, some children are more disobedient than others, and I've worked with several children who've come out of the 12 tribes who will need psychological help for the rest of their lives.
How many years were you with the group in total?
I was with them for just over 2 years.
While living in Winnipeg with 12 tribes, I understand you started to rethink what you'd gotten yourself into. How did you come to leave?
I stopped disciplining my son probably 3 months before I left, and I actually found that he became a lot more obedient when I stopped having to discipline him for everything. I also realised that before I joined the community, I asked a series of questions, like if they had a particular leader, and they said, no, we have no leader, and we have no rules, and everyone's free to come and go. And what I realised is that if you did leave, you got cut off. I could see the hypocrisy of the leaders, you know, feathering their own nests, having the easy jobs whilst a handful of people had to slave away to provide for the rest of the community. I started to question a lot of the things that I was told before I joined, and realised that they were basically lies, that they just told me what I wanted to hear so I would end up joining.
How did you leave? And tell me how it came that your wife didn't leave.
They were getting prepared for an event in Washington, D.C., where they were showcasing the 12 tribes to the world. They wanted me to illegally cross a border at night. They were telling me to grab my family and cross a river, and they'd pick me up from the other side of the river. And I just told the elders, look, if God wants me to cross the borders, he will open the borders, but I'm not going to be illegally crossed. That was the really big red flag for me. And then the next big red flag was, was in Winnipeg for 9/11, and one of the members got up in one of our morning gatherings to tell us we had to be more like the pilots who flew the plane. And that, not that we should kill anyone or hurt anyone, but we've got to be so focused on what we're doing that nothing else matters. And I just looked at my wife at that point and said, look, we have to reevaluate our decision to be here. And she just said, well, I'll divorce you. My son then looked at me and said, I'm coming with you. And they dropped us off at a hotel with $100 for me to get back to Sydney, Australia.
And did you ultimately get all of your children?
Yes. They knew that I wouldn't go away quietly and that my family wouldn't just go away quietly. So they thought it would be best if the other children were returned to Australia.
When was the last time your ex-wife saw her children?
That was back in the end of 2001.
If you could speak with your wife right now, what would you say to her?
Because she doesn't live that far from us, she's only 30 minutes up the road, I'm quite often near where she lives, and I have bumped into her in the street, and she has absolutely nothing to say to me. And I say, do you want to know how your children are doing? Do you want to know how Tess is doing? You know, her son Bryson and Peter. But she just doesn't want to ask any questions. She just wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. And unfortunately, this is not an uncommon story in the 12 tribes.
What's the one thing that you would like to stay with people about your story and about trying to understand this group from your perspective?
From my perspective, any stories you hear about the 12 tribes are probably true, and they are probably not the whole story. Like, I would not willingly make up the fact that I allowed my son to be disciplined 60 times by a virtual stranger to him. It makes me look bad and feel completely worthless. So when people tell you stories about their experiences, believe them. Don't believe the smiling, happy faces of the cult members, because that's what they have to do. Otherwise, they will also get kicked out. Most of the people who are members of the 12 tribes are absolutely wonderful, genuine people. They've just been deceived by a couple of the leaders into doing what the leaders want them to do.
Thank you so much for being candid with us this morning. We appreciate your time on CBC, Matthew. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.